Praise God. Oh, I didn't hear microphones kick in, so it'll be a little, quality will be a little bit lower, but it should be all right because it's sitting right there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time that we have together. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your goodness. Even in the midst of our challenges, we know that you are still good. We believe in your promises that you made in your word. We believe that you are working all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So open our hearts, Lord, today as we read from your word and consider how we might have a happy heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to believe, Priscilla, that you were led by the Holy Spirit today to change your tack, because it kind of goes along with some of the things we want to talk about. So I love it when the Lord does that, especially when I'm feeling like maybe I've made a mistake and not done the right thing. This is something I shared a few years ago, and I always feel guilty when I do that, that I'm not doing my job. I'm not coming up with new material. I should have a new message every week. But praise God. I think this will bless you. Everybody needs to be reminded once in a while. And plus, I think I have a new perspective on it after so many years. Because... Linda used to ask me all the time, or with some regularity, are you happy? And I never did like that question very much because, well, the truth of it is I really wasn't happy, but I didn't think I was supposed to be happy. I didn't feel like, to me, that just wasn't a good word. I didn't even like that word. To me, that was a temporary state. That was something you experience once in a while, but joy is what's supposed to last forever, not necessarily happiness. Well, that's a distinction I think that we make that maybe we shouldn't make. Now, interestingly enough, when I first learned about this, I would have still said no. I wouldn't call myself happy, and I still, Linda can tell you, I still don't respond to stress all that well, and I still, I probably don't present a perpetually happy image. And yet, if you ask me, I think I would say, yeah, I'm happy. I have seen too much. I have seen God do too many things. I have seen his goodness too often not to be. And I've seen how he's working so that even when things in my life maybe aren't going the way that I thought they would or that I wanted them to, I still see him working. And I have to trust him. And that gets easier as time goes on. As he proves himself over and over and over again, it becomes easier. And so, yeah, now I would say, yeah, I'm happy. I'm not happy every hour of every day, but yeah, I'm generally happy.
Right.
How can I be anything else when the Lord keeps proving himself like that?
Amen.
I keep learning. I keep learning, so let's learn together. Because I know these things can work. I can't really say that I've practiced them all that consistently, but God has been good and gracious anyway, and now he's letting me see his work, and now I can look back, and now when something does come up, I can say, Lord, I know you got this.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I might not know everything that does work, but I sure know a lot of things that don't.
That's true.
I love the book of Proverbs. I talk about it all the time. It's just so full of wisdom. The older I get, the more wisdom I see there in the truths that are there. And one of the things that it often does is it will contrast one thing with the other. It speaks in general terms, and you know, sometimes it's just talking about the way the world works in general, but your circumstances may vary. There may be things in your life that you're going, okay, I don't see that to be true in my life. Well, give it time. Some things we might have to wait for eternity before it all makes sense. But it also presents some translation difficulties. And all you have to do is look at the Proverbs in various translations to see what I mean. But they always point to wisdom and truth. This particular one that we're going to look at today, I used to read it, and I thought, well, this is kind of sad. What are you trying to say here? Are you trying to say that anybody who's afflicted, anybody who's sick, anybody who's poor is having a, you know, that's just too bad. All your days are going to be bad. But, and you can put it up there now so we can see, people can see what I'm talking about. But this time, though, the last time when I read it back in 2017, I thought, suddenly the light came on. The Lord let me see, oh, I think I got it now. And then I studied it, and I was just as confused as ever. But praise God. I think I've come to some understanding, and it's something that we can all take courage from and take heart from. But if you read it in the New American Standard, the 1995 edition, it says, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Now, well, that's great for the cheerful heart, but boy, the afflicted don't seem like they got it so good. So then you start to look at the words. All right, what are these? If you look in your, pull out your concordance or get online and start looking at this word by word, what do you get? That word for afflicted there. Some translate it poor. Others afflicted, like we've got it here. Some have it humble. The updated New American Standard says needy. Another one says wretched. But then, all right, so what about the other side? The cheerful heart. Well, if you look at that word, good, pleasant, agreeable, it's cheerful here. But if you look at that word, it's the same word that God uses when it talks about creation in Genesis chapter 1. He said, God saw that it was good. It's that word. So a good heart, you could translate that. And when we talk about good, it's in the terms of what God calls good. Good opposes evil. It also is used for God's provision, God's promises, God's word. All the some translations, beautiful, splendid. Choice, as in food or particularly meat, favor, prosperity, better or best. There's only one other place where the New American Standard translates it cheerful, and it's interesting because of where it occurs. It's in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19. And it's talking about feasts, the feasts of the redeemed nation of Israel. So context a lot of times will help you out with what these things mean. But the thing with the Proverbs is you don't always have a lot of context. And so that's why you'll see all these different readings sometimes in the Proverbs, people trying to figure out what is actually being said. If you look in the Lexham English translation, which I put directly under there, it says, all the days of the poor are hard, but goodness of heart is a continuous feast. Your circumstances may be difficult, but a good heart will sustain you. And the truth remains, even though we have kind of a different reading here, the truth remains. Both readings show us something. They emphasize different truths, but the primary truth in different ways. The common truth is that the condition of your heart makes all the difference in how you deal with the circumstances under which you find yourself. The affliction is real. The challenges that we face are real. Not only are they real, they're expected. Jesus said, we're going to have trouble. And that may take many forms. It may take the form of persecution. It may take the form of poverty. Although nobody here knows the kind of poverty that some we can see in the rest of the world. It may take the form of sickness. It may take the form of disability that we know all so well. But here is the difference. If you live in that place, if that's what you think about, that's what you talk about, that's where you spend all of your time, guess what? All your days are probably going to be bad. But your heart can live in affliction. It can filter everything that happens by the trial. It can see always in life the things that are wrong instead of the things that are right. It can always expect the worst. But if you're living that way and if you're thinking that way, guess what? You will be prone to depression. Goodness, I would be. Anybody would be. It all is tied up in how we choose to think and what we choose to do with our heart, what we choose to fill our heart with. We can live that way, or we can live in God's goodness. Our circumstances may not be any different, but instead of seeing everything that's wrong, we start looking at what is good and what is right. And it's motivated by love. It sees the blessings of God everywhere it looks. It expects good things instead of bad things because it knows the giver of all good things. And so, even in the midst of the challenges, it is able to rejoice. And not only is it able to rejoice, it's able to share. And I see that. I see that among people here. When a doctor needs to listen to your heart, he get this tool, he get this stethoscope, and he puts it and he listens to your heart, and you know he can kind of tell from that what's going on. But we can listen to our spiritual heart, and the way that you listen to your spiritual heart is through your mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if what's coming out of your mouth is no good, then you need to check your heart. And I speak that to myself as well as anybody because I struggle in that area too. But then the feast, he says, the cheerful heart or the good heart has a continual feast. Now the feast was always, in the Jewish culture, was always around worship. You came to Jerusalem to have the feasts. And they always involved the sacrifice and the worship of Yahweh. And it was even commanded during these feasts that this is a time of rejoicing. And they were not solitary events. You didn't do these things off by yourself. And God is the source from which our heart feasts. So the message for us comes through in every reading. A heart that is feeding on God's goodness will never go hungry. So how do we live this way? Well, I can tell you some things that don't work, some things that are not helpful. Complaining is not helpful. For one thing, it insults God. If you remember back in the story of Exodus, and even beyond that, up through those first five books there, you'll find numerous occasions where the children of Israel, Chris talked about it a little bit this morning, would get discouraged and they would get disgruntled and they would start to complain. And God would then execute judgment because of their complaint. Because they had God, and part of that I think had to do with the fact that with great revelation comes great responsibility. And as was pointed out earlier, He is right there. He has done miracles. He's parted the Red Sea. He's leading them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He is right there. And so for them to have the gall to complain under those circumstances, great responsibility, greater judgment. But the other thing that we do is we worry. And the problem with that is it exhibits a lack of trust in God. That doesn't mean we shouldn't plan and try to make provision for the things that might happen in our lives. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:32, God knows what you need even before you ask. He knows what you want too. You may not get that. But He knows what you need. And He is able to supply, you know, it says in 6:26 there, He is able to supply everything that you need. But worry affects your health. It actually can cause physical problems or make physical problems worse if you already have them. And not only that, Jesus says in verse 27 there of chapter 6, doesn't change a thing. You can't do, and your worrying doesn't change anything. But you know what? Your prayer might. Worry only makes things worse because it's based in fear. It's based in fear of what might happen. And fear will cause one of two things to happen, generally. It'll either cause you to be paralyzed and not be able to do anything, be more disabled than maybe you were in the first place, or it can cause you to act rashly and do something that is not helpful to your situation, makes things even worse. It's not helpful to get angry. Even justified, it's harmful if we hold on to it. That's why Paul tells us, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't sin with it. It'll lead to bitterness. And it generally will end up wounding the innocent, even if the innocent is you. Trust God. Especially don't be angry with Him. And I know that people struggle with that. I struggled with that. I went through years, and even though, and it was sort of a vicious cycle because I'd get mad at God, and then I'd get angry with me for being angry with God because I knew better than that. And it would just beat myself up with that. But God is good. And He kept showing me and kept showing me, and I finally am starting to see it. God is good. He's got this. He's got it under control. And it might look bleak from where you're standing, but friends, you've got an eternity ahead of you. And even if it doesn't happen in this life, know that what's coming after is so much better than you could ever imagine. That this is going to say, why in the world was I worried about that? That's hard to see sometimes when you're in the middle of it. I get that. But know that, believe that, trust in that, and let it bring you joy. The things that are helpful. Choose life. Each moment is a new opportunity. And I'll tell you, I have to practice this because, you know, I'm sitting there and I get so frustrated. Some of the things that I have to use at work, that they don't work very well. They're not very well programmed for somebody who can't see. And I get frustrated because, you know, my job depends on this. My life depends on this. And I get angry and I say stuff and then I go, Lord, I'm so sorry. And I have to do that reset sometimes over and over again. I get so frustrated and so, Lord, help me. Why is this? Because what that tells me is I got stuff in my heart that's not out yet that needs to be purified. So, Lord, show me. Help me understand what's going on here so I can stop this silliness. Because I know better. But I'm not done fighting with it. Every moment is a new opportunity. So whatever you did 10 seconds ago, right now is your new opportunity. How are you going to respond to it? And stay connected. Stay connected with God. He is always there. Sometimes we don't feel it, but we know He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with us. When you have made Him Lord of your life, His Holy Spirit lives within you. He is never more than a thought away. And we refresh that memory by staying in the Word, by staying in prayer, even when it doesn't talk back. I mean, sometimes He doesn't talk back, and I get frustrated too, and I go, Lord, if you just talk back, I might have an easier time praying. Kind of hard to have a one-sided conversation, but I have to trust Him even in that. Maybe He knows that if He told me what I really need to know right now, I'd go blow it and wouldn't do what He said, and then I'd be in real trouble. Remember, again, that great responsibility, great revelation, great responsibility. If He tells me something and I still don't do it, now I'm in a world of hurt. So sometimes I think His silence is grace. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, okay, Lord, if You're not talking to me, why? What is it in my life that needs to be brought before You so that we can be in relationship and we can be close? And connect with others. God gave us, and this was another thing that I used to struggle with, you know, it's, Lord, you know, I'm sort of an introvert. I don't know how to connect with people that well. Can't I just get whatever I need from You? Why do I have to go to other people to get it? Because that's what God intended. He intended for us to share with each other, to have relationship with each other, to build each other up, to sort of, I want to put this right, because nobody's going to fill His role here on earth, but to sort of show us in flesh and blood, what it's supposed to look like. And so He made us for community because He is community. He made us to need each other. So connect with those who are of like mind. Yeah, I know the old phrase is misery loves company, but that's a bad company, folks. Find people and spend time with people who encourage you and build you up and lead you to the truth. It's not good for men or women to be alone. And finally, renew your mind. Romans 12, 1 tells us to be conformed, not to be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we do that really by doing some of the same things we've already talked about, by meditating on the truth of His Word, by choosing to put good things into our minds instead of bad things. You know, sometimes I'm one for this. I want to stay up to date on the news, and it's good. We should stay up to date on the news. But man, sometimes you just got to step back, because nobody's reporting the good news. It's out there, but nobody's reporting the good news. Everybody's reporting the bad news, and you feed on that, and that becomes what you think about, and that's what you dwell on, and you can get to worrying about that. Oh, you know, and I do sometimes, Lord. All I can do is live day to day and do what's in front of me, but are we going to have a country left before this is over? Oh, maybe not. But you know what that tells me? That tells me that his return is just that much closer. So there's another example. I can focus on all the bad things that are happening, and oh no, we're gonna lose it all. Or I can say, we're getting closer to the time when Jesus is going to come back and put everything right. So instead of being worried about what's going to happen, Lord, what should I be doing? What should I be saying? How should I be spreading the message, the good news of your word, so that if there's anybody who will still listen, they can hear the truth? So our favorite verse that we quote all the time around here, right? We've probably read it. I think we read it even last week, but it's worth reading again. Be anxious for nothing, but through everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything, any excellence, or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The Word of God. Uplifting material, things that build your spirit up instead of tear it down. And finally, I know I said finally, but one more finally, go beyond yourself. Pray for others. Help whenever you can, because it will help you to gain new perspective. Because once again, what are we back to? We're back around to love. We are made to love and to be loved. And the Lord said that we'll be known as his disciples by our love. So let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing us through your word how it is that we can experience joy. Now, we like to use the Christianese word, but happiness too. Happiness because we know that you are with us. And we know that you have it under control. And we know that you are doing good things that we cannot see. And we know that at the end of the story, you win.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.